welcome to another car cast, or podcast, I guess. It's a car cast. Hopefully, my sound won't be drowned out by the sound of the engine of the car as we make our way down to Cardiff again. A couple of things have been on my mind this time, and I felt the need to burst into podcasting. One of them is the knotty problem, certainly in schools, of technology and the balance between how much tech kit you need as to how much tech understanding and use there is in a school. Because I personally think that actually the two aren't directly related. Going back over a number of years, schools have lagged behind many, many other institutions in their the amount of tech equipment they can have, and also the how up to date it is. Many of us will remember having schools full of RM186 computers for years after Windows machines first appeared, and then having Windows 3.0 machines when everybody else was moving on to things like Windows 95 and all these other wonderful whizzy things that people were using in offices at the time, but not in schools. And I guess the same is still is true today, that there are many more high-tech things being used in organisations than will ever appear in schools. How many times do you see walk into offices and see Macs on the desk and people walking around using these sort of things? But in schools you simply don't see them unless schools have had the funding. And yet schools still have to do the tech stuff. I know, again, personal situation now. Back when I was teaching in 2005 and wanted to break into podcasting, I was using a Windows 98 machine that we bought as a batch in 1995, had been upgraded a little, but we're talking of a machine that was already way, way past its sell-by date. But kids could still use Audacity, which was the program that would run on it, and they could still record podcasts. Kids could still do digital photography and upload their photographs onto it. Okay, we couldn't do geotagging, but once we had internet access of a decent speed, we could upload stuff into... I guess then it was a bit early to call it the cloud, but upload photographs to a Flickr album or upload podcasts to a podcast host that was somewhere else. And that was all with equipment that wasn't at all up to date. I was using, certainly for some of the mobile podcasting we were using, I was using a microphone plugged into an MP3 device. The microphone was found in a drawer, didn't cost anything. Wasn't marvellous, but was good enough to do the job. So I do begin to worry when schools say, well, we must have this technology, we must have that technology, we must have whiteboards, we must have all of these other things. As I really do worry how much use all this additional equipment is put to. Again, personal experience. The school that I was in was part of a pilot way, way back, it must have been about 2004, for the Welsh Assembly Government to put an interactive whiteboard into every school in Wales. We had an interactive whiteboard delivered. The head at the time didn't really ask anybody where it should go, and they decided to put it in a room which wasn't actually a classroom. It languished unused for a good 2 years, where no one plugged anything into it. The computer wasn't plugged into it, it certainly wasn't used as an interactive board. In the end, when I did try and put it all together, it didn't work, because it had been unused for so long, bits of it had just decided to give up the ghost. It did as a board. In the end, I took the projector that came with it and repurposed the projector somewhere else as a mobile device, which seemed a far better use of it than having it stuck in a room where it wasn't going to be used. Now, that technology, we could have had lots of that thrown at us. I really do question how much of it would have been used wisely or used correctly. And would that money have been better spent in other ways. I do, not wishing to blow their trumpet, have to say that to Wales, the Welsh Assembly government's good side showed when they actually decided that they wouldn't spend endless amounts of money on updating things, but they would come up with NGFL Cymru, which was an excellent idea, because that's become a repository of teachers' ideas. It started very small with stuff that they bought in from various suppliers, pre-packaged lessons, all that sort of stuff that was already there. And there wasn't much outside that, but over the years, as teachers have come to grips with various bits of technology and gone off on various projects that really interest them, that stuff has started to feed through directly into it as well. So by now you've got a repository which is quite widely stocked with ideas that have actually been used in classrooms, which is quite handy. And that again comes back to the idea that these teachers are doing it not with thousands and thousands of pounds worth of equipment, but with the equipment that they have in their classroom at the time. I think that's when schools are asking for all these additional wonderful things, I think that's something that has to be borne in mind. I know that the push now is not necessarily for whiteboards, which are prolific in the UK these days, but now people are looking at these interactive tables, which bring technology and the IT stuff down to a tabletop hand device where you can move things around without keyboard use. Great, wonderful. And in certain circumstances they're going to be extremely useful. And I think for certain types of children they would be extremely useful. I think in certainly in schools where children have disabilities, where they can't use keyboards, where they can't interact with the screen because maybe the screens are too small, having a desk-sized screen that you can manipulate with your fingers or any other device has to be a good use of technology. However, I don't see that it is something that should be put into many schools. I'd certainly think of the expense. You're talking of about, well, probably about £2,000 worth of ICT equipment for one of these things. I don't know. That's pulled off the top of my head, comparing them with whiteboards. Which is a lot of money to invest in one thing, where you could probably equip your school with some decent digital cameras that they could use with lower level kit. That comes in as well to the other bee in my bonnet with schools, and that was the overemphasis on having to have a Microsoft suite on your computer. Again, you go from, you're already talking about schools where the equipment isn't very up to date. So often you'd get in a situation where, because of the way many Microsoft products work, you'd have children doing work on, say, a Windows XP machine in their home, using Windows Office, say, Microsoft Office, and then coming into a classroom where they had an old 98 machine and suddenly finding that some of their files didn't work properly because there's a compatibility issue between some Microsoft products, the versions of their software. So one does wonder why we always had to have Microsoft this and Microsoft that. I do recall that we did have Sun Microsystems bring in OpenOffice, and they were offering deals to teachers to have a home version as well as a school version, and we did push that. But still, there's a preponderance on kids having to learn spreadsheet skills using Office and having to use Microsoft Office, spreadsheets using Excel and Microsoft Office for their word processing, and having to pay license fees or buying the software to do that. When these days the cloud exists, that cloud that was the thing that wasn't called the cloud back, 4 or 5 years ago, but is now suddenly the cloud where things can be stored. And you can have what I would have loved to have had a good 10 years ago, which is thin computers, where you don't need to have all the software on the computer. The computer is simply the station that you type on. You can use Google Docs and spreadsheets to store your documents, work on your documents collaboratively online. And I think schools need to start moving towards secure versions of this where they actually have storage space. You don't have to have it on the computers. That also helps the security issue. If you've got computers that are quite basic, don't have huge amounts of space on them, don't carry various other things, there's very little point in stealing them because they actually aren't really hugely useful outside. And that would certainly help the security issue in schools where computers have been stolen because of their perceived use in the community. Pause while going round roundabout, waiting for van. Good. The other bee in my bonnet, I guess, is teachers' professional development. Something that's fresh in my mind because I'm listening to a series of podcasts at the moment by David Noble as part of his Edonis project, E-D-O-N-I-S project, which is looking into the tech skills of teachers and how they've acquired their skills and how they apply them as well, but also how they've where these have come from, how much is self-taught and how much is actually come from training. And I think in pretty well all of the interviews that I've heard so far, when teachers are asked how much tech training did you have as part of your teacher training process, the number of people who had any substantial amount of tech training is negligible, if not non-existent. And again, case in point myself, tech training, we have actually, it's become a very good department in Caerphilly, the counties, which is called ESIS, have a very good centre based in Treforest now. But they do the usual things. They will have a day for IT coordinators where they'll pick up some of the latest software that's being touted around. They maybe will have sessions on specific things now and again when they crop up, but I don't think as yet there's any concerted skill building effort along the lines of the new opportunities funding process that happened, goodness gracious, if anybody can remember, it must be years ago, where the government actually funded teachers to do specific tech training in their classrooms. That I don't know how much that cost, but it certainly lasted for a couple of years and then I think has disappeared pretty well without trace. So I think it comes down, looking at it, a lot of people who David interviewed have been self-taught. They've picked this stuff up as they've been going along. I guess we have to look at it. We've got formal training and informal training, and this is largely informal IT training that people have virtually taught themselves and begun to group around other people that know things and pick up more from them, which again is a really powerful way of learning. But I would say that the learning that's gone on within these PLNs, these personal learning networks, far and away outstrips any learning that's gone on with formal training. Certainly in my own case, I would say that I've learned more from the group of people that I started to get ideas from, communicate with, share ideas with. Took me up far beyond any of the skills that I would have learned waiting for courses to come round in my local educational area. And that's sad, and sad in a way that that system isn't being tapped into by local education authorities. I'm not, again, having been out of the system for 18 months, nearly 2 years now, I can't speak with direct authority on that, but my belief is that there isn't any cognizance made of these these independent, informal methods of relearning within teacher training, or certainly within teachers' continual professional development. I'm sure someone can correct me if I'm wrong. So I've a plea then for local education authorities is to look at people that you have in your community that have developed these skills informally and start to bring these people in to talk to your teachers to give them insights into what sort of things they could be doing. I think the one advantage of that is, well, there are several advantages. The main ones are that you'll see that it's someone who's actually doing what they're talking about. It's not someone who's giving you an idea of something that could work. It's actually someone showing you something that's worked for them, they've used. The secondary element of it is that I think it'll show people that you don't need the huge tech input to actually do some of this stuff. Second thing is that they'll realise that you don't need the enormous tech support to do this stuff. You can do it very easily. And the other thing they'll have is, hopefully, they'll be able to tap in to the network that are there, because I would say that all of the people involved in this stuff are only too willing to share it with other people, to grow the learning network, to grow the learning, to grow the ideas, because again, even though some of these people have been in this situation from the early days, some of these early adopters, actually, now we're getting to the stage now where the early adopters don't need to leave the stage so much, but need to facilitate the people coming into the process, because I'm sure that that next push will take things so much further that new ideas will emerge, and these new ideas will be hugely different from the ideas that the early adopters have come up with, and it'll grow the knowledge base hugely. So I hope that plea gets through to the powers that be, that there are people out there, teachers out there, that they should not only be talking to, but they should be encouraging to come in and talk to others, spread the word, to virally use the informal learning and bring that into the formal learning situation. I think that's probably enough for a rant for today.